season one and their season two. You can find them on our Facebook page or at freebaptistchurch.org on the Journey tab. And they're just a bunch of short videos, the first season about finding Jesus Christ as your Savior, the second season about now that I've gotten saved, now what? And this third season, I just like to be an encouragement about who God is. You know, God does not change. He has not changed, though the world has changed incredibly in this last year. And he is an anchor point for us. And so we're going to focus on who God is. And what I'd like to share with you today is that God is invisible. He can't be seen. John 1:18 says, "No man hath seen God at any time." And so the way that I perceive God is not by sight, but is by faith. I've got to come to a position of understanding who God is outside of my perceptive ability that I tend to depend upon more than anything, and that is my sight. You know, I've noticed that people that don't believe in God believe strongly in aliens, all right? And they believe in something that they can't see that's way out there somewhere. But they might look at a Christian and say, "I don't understand you," and I make fun of you, maybe even in a little way, because you believe in something that you can't see. Well, I would point out to them or to anybody that you can't see the wind, you can't see gravity, but you can perceive them because of their power. Their power is evident, and because of that evident power, you have faith that there is such a thing as wind and that there is such a thing as gravity. I was speaking recently with a young atheist and had a very enjoyable conversation with him. We actually spoke for about an hour about God. But he asked me a question that was a perceptive question, and I really appreciated it. And he said to me, he said, "How has God revealed himself to you?" I like that question because that asked me as a believer, why do I believe so strongly in God? And I tell people it's not just that I've got this strong faith. By God's grace, I have an experience of who God is. It's what the Bible speaks about when it says, "Taste and you'll see that the Lord is God." And I could just, let me just share with you, if you would, some things that have encouraged me in my walk with God. And for instance, I have a great fear of speaking in front of people. If you would have told me even 3 years ago that I'd be sitting in front of a camera live streaming and speaking to you today, I would have denied that that was a possibility because I just my nature is not that I like to get in front of people and speak. But you know, God is a God that sometimes asks us to do things that we can't do. And when I was in college, I got a letter in my poll box. I was at a big Christian college in the United States, about 5,000 students. And the letter was something I dreaded. And it said, "You're going to pray in chapel on such and such a date." Well, I mean, chapel, the FMA seated 7,000 people. And I got that letter. I went down with tears to my place where I'd get alone with God and pray. And I wept, and I said to God, "God, I can't do it, but I've told you whatever you want me to do, I will do." And I had a couple weeks to pray about it, and I got to the FMA on the day that I was to pray. And as soon as I walked into that auditorium and the back of it, you know, there was a peace that I can't explain. And as I walked up onto the platform, and I sat up there, you know, with the preacher and the other guys that were up there, you know, as a young college student, my opportunity was going to be to get up and pray. I had perfect peace. And as I got up to pray, I just had liberty to just unburden my heart before the Lord and pray and walk back. And it was one of the greatest experiences to me as to the reality of God. And that's the precious thing as a believer, is that you get to experience God. I shared with them as well that my son Logan, who is now 14 years old. I've got five boys, but he's 14 years old. When he was born with something called craniosynostosis. And the back soft spot and suture on his head had fused prematurely, making his head grow towards the other soft spot in the front of his head. His head was bossing, getting rounder in the front and narrower towards the back. It's the opposite of really what it should be. And my wife had noticed that. My wife really diagnosed it. That's one of the things that shows God's grace. We were traveling in the United States, raising support to move to Scotland. And so she contacted our pediatrician, and the pediatrician said, "Oh, no, Katie, that's something really serious if he has that." She said, no, I'm pretty confident this is what it is. She scheduled an appointment for us at the University of Michigan. And I mean, we were all over the United States, down to Florida and kind of back up. But on our travels, we came past the U of M, which is the premier place in the United States to get a surgery, craniofacial surgery of this type. So many ways that God answers prayer. But one of the neatest things was the night before the surgery, we had that day had to sign things that said, you know, possibility of death, possibility of blindness. They were going to put an incision around his head, take his skull out, reshape it, put it back in as a six-month-old baby. And I was reading in my Bible that night, Acts 26, the story of the shipwreck of Paul. And I said to my wife, I said, Katie, what's your greatest fear? And she said, him dying. And I said, well, God's given me a verse. And the verse God gave me was, fear not, Paul, there shall not be any loss of any man's life on this ship. And my wife is, she gets nervous if the kids are being babysat, you know, and with a babysitter. And she doesn't like to leave them at all. But on the day of the surgery, it was completely fine. I can't explain it. We had tears before, we had tears after the surgery. It was a very major surgery for a little guy to go through, but God gave us perfect peace. And again, a testimony to who God is. My dad at 26 years of age was a pastor, and my dad was taking a day off with his family. He had three little boys, 3, 2, and 1. And my dad got into the car with his wife, decided to take this day, drive up from Wisconsin up into Minneapolis, St. Paul area. There was some ministry they wanted to do, and they wanted to take the little guys to the zoo. And on the way up there, my dad, in an IGA semi-truck or lorry, hit their brakes at the same time. The truck was fully loaded with food. It was a grocery store truck. As they locked their brakes, my dad's front left brake didn't release. And it jackknifed his Ford Mustang into the front of a fully loaded lorry. The accident was so impactful that it knocked the engine block of that Mustang out into the field, impacted on my dad's wife's side. She was instantly killed. I believe one of the boys lived to the hospital, but all three boys passed away. And a lot of neat things about the story as far as God's grace, a lot of miracles involved in the story. But one in particular that I shared with this young man is that my dad's back was broken. They said he'll either be a paraplegic or he'll die. And 26 years of age, he's there in the hospital. And they had strapped him in at night because they were scared if he moved. He still had feeling in his legs. He still had mobility. They didn't want him to mess things up, so they'd strap him in at night. But he asked, he said, can I please not be strapped in? And so they didn't do that night. And during the night, he got uncomfortable. He somehow got onto his side, didn't realize how heavy his legs were. They pulled him out of bed into a kneeling position. And he somewhat jokingly says a position of prayer there beside the bed. But as he got into that position, he realized it was the most comfortable that he had ever felt. And he doesn't remember how he got back into his bed, but he got back in bed. The next day, the nurse came in, and he said to her, he said, I got out of bed last night. And she laughed, you know, 26-year-old guy there. And he said, no, I really did. And so she went and got the doctors. They wheeled him out to x-ray. And an agnostic doctor came in that was dad's primary care physician. And he said, well, I can't explain this. You may break your back again, but you'll not break it there. There's a calcium deposit that would take years to develop. My dad wanted to go home with his parents to Colorado and to recover, and they had to leave. They had a dairy farm, and so he said to the doctor he'd like to do that, and the doctor said, that's fine as long as you complete this list. Comb your hair, dress yourself, do your shoes, tie your shoes, and all these things. And my dad did that list, and 13 days after the accident, my dad walked out of the hospital, and the doctors and nurses lined the hall to see this man that was able to do what was impossible to do because God had healed my dad. Just to prove, again, the goodness of God and the power of God, some 20 years later, my dad was driving between ministries. He was driving a Ryder transport truck. It was a moving company, and he had to get an x-ray in Iowa, hundreds of miles from where this accident took place. And 20 years later, 20 plus years later, and the x-ray technician came out and said, I want to meet you. You're a pastor. You lost your family in a car accident. And dad looked at him and said, okay, how do you know? He said, they gave us your x-ray at the Mayo Clinic, a premier place in the United States medical school. They gave us your x-ray and challenged us to prove how it is that you can walk. Your nerves should be shot. My dad, again, basically has two vertebrae that are welded together. You know, I shared that with him, but what I wish I would have shared in retrospect, I wish I would have spoke more about, is the day when I was 5 years old, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart about the fact that I was a sinner and that I needed Jesus Christ as my Savior. And sitting in a church as my dad preached a message on hell, realizing that I deserved to go there, nobody said to me afterwards, Benjamin, you need to go downstairs and speak to your dad. But the Spirit of God did. He spoke inside my heart. And I went down and I said to my dad, Dad, I'd like to get saved. And I remember distinctly my dad sharing with me the gospel, that I was a sinner, that my sin deserves God's wrath, but that Jesus Christ died for me. He paid the complete price for my sin. He died in my place, and that he didn't stay in the grave, but that he rose from the dead. And that God, if I'd asked God to save me, that God would forgive me of my sin and God would give me his gift of everlasting life. And as a little boy, I didn't know how to pray, so I prayed after my dad something like this. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner, but you died for me. Will you please forgive me of my sin and save me? And the experience of salvation is significant. Anybody that's gotten saved can tell you this, that when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's the moment where you taste and see that the Lord is good. And God gave me his gift of everlasting life. There was a lightness in my heart. My sin was taken away. And that's the reason why today I can say day after day, time after time, moment after moment, I see God at work in my life because I have Jesus Christ in my heart. 1 Corinthians speaks about it in chapter 3, verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? When God moves in, you begin to understand things about God that you look at the Word of God and you think, why didn't I get that before? But it was because you had no ability to perceive it. You know, back when radio came out and AM, FM radio and that sort of thing, you had to have an AM or FM transmitter to be able to receive the signal. It was invisible. It was real. It was out there. But for you to perceive it and understand that it was true, you had to have that receiver to be able to get it. You know what our world needs and what you might need today is that receiver. You need Jesus Christ in your heart. You need the Spirit of God in your heart. The way to receive him again is by faith. Because the Bible says this, 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man, that's the man without that Spirit of God in him, he receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. There's a lot of people today that mock God or laugh at this idea about Jesus Christ, that if they had the Spirit of God in them, would understand the reality of that, which maybe they can't understand outside of Christ. I want to encourage you today, if that's you, God doesn't want you to stay there. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin so that you could know God, so that you could understand God, so that you could be certain that when you die, you'll go to heaven. The Bible speaks about in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I love telling people God can't lie. And God has promised that if you'll believe the truth about Jesus Christ's death, his resurrection, the punishment for your sin, the reality of your sin, the judgment of your sin, and say, you know what, God, you are right, I am wrong, will you please forgive me? I need to get saved, I need to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, that God is pleased today to give you that gift of eternal life. Listen, we're all immortal. Every single one of us is going to live somewhere forever. But there's only some people that have eternal life, and those are the people that have received God's gift. And in receiving God's gift, the invisible God will become visible. Let's pray as we conclude. Father, I just praise you for your grace. Thank you for the opportunity to speak about God. And Father, I pray for the journey three as we begin it. Lord, we begin to look at these different aspects of the Godhead. May the Spirit of God Speak to the hearts of those that hear it. Father, that's what we need. We need to know God. And Father, the truth of the Word of God is the way to know God. And so, God, open that path before us, and God be glorified. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, this is the first, but not the last, and every Tuesday and Thursday, Lord willing, at 9:30, we're going to seek to go live and share something about God. God bless.